Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, here with the beautiful Sherry Pang.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I couldn't get Skype to work, so I'm connecting directly through the internet, so hopefully that won't cause too many skipping. And
pray to God, yay, knock on wood, you know, hey, the show must go on, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, typically this method doesn't work as well, but we'll hopefully it'll work out okay. So how have you been?
I'm hanging in there, just having some digestive issues, but no, other than that, life has been good. I've been busy, and it's just been crazy. I love it. You know, it's just, it's relaxing, having time to relax and enjoy my house and kick back, but have that also the balance of going to work, which to me, work is not work. It's just something I, you know, some extracurricular therapy that I do that help others, and I enjoy what they call work. So, no, everything's been going really pretty good, actually.
That's good. Yeah, everything on my end's been going okay. Nothing dramatic, nothing too terrible. I'm hoping to sell my Harley Davidson this week, so I'm kind of excited about that. I guess I shouldn't be excited about it. I should be depressed, but I'm excited to have a little extra money.
That'd be great. Well, it's a new chapter, Jason. You know, it's kind of like, hey, it's time to move on. And you know, I know what it's like when I had my Harley. It was kind of like, yeah, it was good and it was fun and being able to be on the bike and, you know, go for some rides. But it comes to a point where you just kind of like, okay, it's time to move on.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm excited about. I'm kind of a gamer. You know, I like to play video games. I don't play it a lot, but I went over to a buddy's house and he had the Oculus Rift, which is one of those virtual reality headsets. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, wow.
And, it was absolutely incredible. It's like I've been waiting my whole life for this technology to become commercially available, and it's amazing. So the first thing I do when I sell my motorcycle, and maybe this is a little geeky, is I'm running to Best Buy. I'm buying a brand new gaming PC, and I'm buying the Oculus Rift so I can lose myself in an alternate reality.
Well, you deserve it, Jason. You've been at it for a while, and you've been working hard and everything, so you deserve it. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Hey, what is there in life here is to enjoy, being at the present moment and enjoy yourself. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? So what do we got lined up today?
Well, unfortunately, we had David Weatherly, and he's on filming, so he got called last minute. And anyway, he's not been able to be able to be our guest, but we have a sensational guest to come back. He's a regular guest of ours. We've had him a couple times, two or three times. I lost track. There's a wealth of information. A personal friend of mine. The guy is just awesome. Very much what you see is what you get, and I just really enjoy having him on the show. He's just amazing. So James Cloud is an archbishop. For those that have never heard of him, he's an archbishop, and he is also a counselor, and his forte is he's an exorcist. He's a Catholic exorcist, so he's very good at what he does. I mean, he came to my house, like I said last time, and I had some activity around mine, and he took care of it. It's been wonderful, and I'm just proud to say he is a personal friend of mine and is a really nice, all-around good guy. So we're going to have him on, and just go ahead and bring him on, and we're just going to shoot the breeze tonight.
Alrighty. Hey, James.
Hi, guys.
Hey, welcome
James,
back.
How are you?
Hey, thank you. Doing great.
Good.
Doing great.
I want to tell everybody, along our listeners on our FM stations and Blog Talk, that James was on last night on Ghost Adventures, and I did get the chance to see it. Him and his wife and their paranormal team were on, and it was a very, very good show. So just in case you missed the show, you can go under cable TV. It's at Discovery, I believe, and it's Ghost Adventures, and it's last night's show. So If James have any, you know, anything to add to that, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, it's Travel Channel, Ghost Adventures, and the episode title is Golden Ghost Town. And it was quite interesting. They only showed about, I would say, a third of what actually happened that night.
What sort of what's the history of the place and what sort of activity happened?
Well, Golden is in Southern Oregon. It's pretty close to a town called Wolf Creek, right off of I-5. And Golden was settled by a preacher man, came in, settled the town. It became a gold mining hub for Southern Oregon for a while. And you can still see the old dredge sites and whatnot. It's currently a state park, and there's no fees to get in there. But they have several old buildings that are still standing, and you can go in and out. One is an old church. One is the old mercantile store. And then they actually brought in a schoolhouse from another ghost town, from what I understand. And then there's a couple outbuildings and stables and stuff like that. But a lot of violent history with the town, a lot of violent history in the area, even recent violent history. And just kind of all contributes to some really odd vibes in the area.
Is that near the Oregon Vortex? Is that kind of that weird place where water runs uphill and stuff? By chance?
Yeah. It's not right next to it. I would say it's about 25 miles, maybe 30 miles from Golden, maybe even longer if you just take an I-5. But if it was a straight shot, it'd probably only be 25 miles or so.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've always wondered about that Oregon Vortex. I've driven by it a couple times, but it's a very interesting area down there. A lot of history in Southern
mm-hmm.
Oregon. And so what kind of activity did you get to experience down there?
Well, are you talking with the Ghost Adventures team?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they had set up filming to have me there early afternoon so they could do interviews and whatnot. Well, things started off rough because things kept delaying the crew from setting up their sliders and other filming apparatuses, and so they didn't actually get to the interview piece until just as the sun was going down. But once they did, it really went south. Literally. They showed last night kind of what was happening in the church. That was the first night, and I was being interviewed, and folks have commented on my wide or crazy eyes in that episode. And I looked at myself last night, I hadn't seen what they did with it till last night. And I looked and I went, that's my fight face, because I was already sensing so much going on as an exorcist. I was literally flipped down into fight mode. I was ready to hit it head on and do what I needed to do to keep everyone safe. And so if you see the crazy eyes, that's what that was all about. but yeah, that was a funny self-reflection on that one.
Do track down the episode and watch it. What was the name of the episode?
The episode, they titled it Golden Ghost Town.
Golden Ghost Town. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, they make it sound like, you know, it was you know, covered in gold and whatnot, but it's just the Golden Ghost Town. Just, yeah, kind of an odd name to have it all together, because you think it's some ancient artifact that's, you know, layered in gold and sitting out in the boondock somewhere. But you can look it up online. Comes up really easy, since it is a state park. And lots of little info you can find out about it.
It's amazing how, you know, all three of you, you know, Aaron came on, you and your wife, you were all getting sick, you know, just physically sick, being the fact that
mm-hmm.
you were just on the property. You wouldn't even investigate it or anything, just the energy of the place.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I went in there before the GAC crew got there, we had been there probably an hour prior to the guys arriving. And I was just doing a walkabout, trying to get a feel of it, seeing which way this was going to go that night. And I walk into the church, and it felt like someone just hit me in the gut. It wasn't painful. It felt like a hit to the gut, but without the pain. So I felt the pressure. I felt, you know, my skin move and all that other weird stuff. But there was no pain associated with it.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
For those that don't know much about it, when you feel that way, is it an indication that there's negative energies or entities or demons or, you know, what would you say when a person feels that way?
Well, when you get that hit in the gut, you feel that pit, you get a little nauseous. It feels like someone has a clamp around the solar plexus as well.
Okay.
It's in my experience, as I've, you know, had it over the years. One, it's very common when you're dealing with a demonic entity or an entity that is really cantankerous and is gearing for a fight. So definitely that clued me in immediately. I even remarked to my team, I said, boy, tonight's really going to be a wild one for these guys because immediately I walk in and get thumped, which is actually very common, you know, that with the scratches and other things. You know, they gave the impression that it was uncommon as an exorcist to be hit or scratched or touched or anything along those lines, and it's actually very common.
I remember one time I was doing an investigation at a place called the White Eagle in Portland. It's an old bar, and I think it was a brothel that was connected to the Shanghai tunnels. And I had just gotten there, and I went to the room. It was reportedly the most haunted room, and I walked in, and it felt extremely uncomfortable. It felt like walking into a wall. It was hard to describe. So I put my stuff down, and I was thinking to myself, there is no way I'm going to be able to stay in this room overnight. So I went, we ate dinner, went back, and it felt totally fine. Whatever was in there wasn't in there when I got back. And it was just, it was really bizarre how it changed.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I did some filming for an upcoming documentary with Sanjay Gupta. And we actually filmed it in Golden after the GAC crew was there. And I went back in the church, and it was fine as frog hair split three ways. I mean, you know, it was cool, collected, no problems, no hit in the gut, no weird feelings, almost welcoming. So I definitely get it when you say, you know, sometimes it, like in that instance, first time you get in, I mean, it's very creepy. Second time, it's like home, waiting, you know, you could probably sleep there and have no problem. And I don't know why they do it. Maybe they're just not there at the time, or perhaps they're just hiding their presence.
Yeah, it always, you know, being a skeptic, it always makes me wonder what would, why it would change like that, you know, because I'm always skeptical about everything. So,
sure.
It's, it makes me wonder, and it makes me, you know, kind of validates it in a way. You know, I'm sure the mind can psych mm-hmm. you up and stuff like that, but it was just really odd how it just was there and then it wasn't.
James, when
oh, yeah,
a person
absolutely.
Who's not experienced in those type of things, whether they're investigating or, you know, talking to dead and that kind of thing, when a person feels that way when they're visiting, do you suggest that they just get hightail out of there, or can it be a big risk if they end up hanging out? What do you suggest for a person? I'm sure there are people that have had those feelings but didn't understand or equate what was going on, but what do you suggest when a person gets those feelings?
Well, a lot of things can cause those types of feelings. You know, the first thing that comes to mind when I walk into a building and feel like a sense of presence, or I'm being watched, or a feeling of heaviness, or even it feels like you're walking through sponge. The air has that kind of, it's almost elastic, for lack of better terms. One thing that can do it that's totally natural, totally explainable, is high EMF. If a person is sensitive to electromagnetic fields or electromagnetic radiation, they absolutely can have all of those things. So usually the first thing I do is look for a big power box, major lines coming in. I had actually talked to a gal not too long ago. She was having an issue in her place, but it always was in this one spot that she got really creeped out. My first question was, well, is that spot where the fuse box is, and is that where the lines come in from the street? And she goes, yeah, it is. How'd you know? I said, it's absolutely explainable why that spot feels creepy. You're just being affected by the electromagnetic radiation. And they verified it, and once they realized that, their fear left. But, you know, if it's a legit haunting and their folks are having these feelings, they absolutely, you know, at least should acknowledge that there's the possibility that something's there. As far as risk, I guess it would depend on the individual, how much they are willing or unwilling to open themselves up to the entity. Because I tell folks all the time, you know, these type of things, look for a weakness. And if they don't find a weakness, they're probably not going to mess with you. But if you've got something going on, or you're looking for these guys, or you're inviting them in, then absolutely, the risk potential at least goes up.
So I've mentioned this before on the show. I live in a basement, and there's one corner of the basement that I avoid. I won't even look at it, and it creeps me out. There's like some presence going on, but I have to kind of walk not through it, but by it to get in my room, mm-hmm. which is, I've kind of got this apartment thing down in this basement. So I've mm-hmm. been living here a while, and I talked to my roommate, and she seems to think that the basement's haunted. And she said when they came mm-hmm. installing the phone lines, the guy that was installing, doing whatever work in that particular corner, told her that something was there and that he's not coming back. So that kind of validated me that there's something going on there. Now, I actually have EMF meters, but I won't even go investigate it, because I feel like if I investigate it, then I'm acknowledging it. And so I ignore it. And whatever's there, if something is there, I kind of feel like it stays in its space and stays out of my space, sort of thing.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
But it's,
and it definitely,
just that,
you know, may, you know, stay out of your way. You know, I over my years of experience, there's no harm in just, even play acting, like you're just walking through with your EMF meter, take a quick glance at it, not you never kind of la la la, just to verify if there's, or you could even visually do it actually. Just go on the outside and look for any major fuse boxes or major power lines that come into the house on either, since it's in a corner, you know, facing either way, real close to that corner.
Yeah, I know there's no power in that corner. They're at the opposite side of the house. They just rewired the house, so I know where all the wiring's at. But I'll get brave enough and just kind of walk through there, and I don't know. It's just kind of an eerie thing. Every time I'm walking out of the basement, I'm kind of looking over my shoulder. It's just the weirdest thing.
Oh, yeah, that kind of stinks to have to do that.
But it's odd because I'm fine in my space. You know, I don't sense anything.
Sure.
It's just that one specific little corner. It's odd.
Do you have any
problems? History of?
No, that's what's odd about it is the people that own this house have owned it since it was built. So it would have had to been something on the land prior, and nobody's died in this house that I'm aware of.
Yeah,
does Oregon have a law
that
they have to disclose whether there's been suicides or any deaths in the family? Do you know that?
That they do?
I'm just asking. I don't know. There's certain states they have.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if they know it to be haunted, I could be wrong, but I think Oregon law makes you disclose that. But I don't think they make you disclose if, you know, say Uncle Buck died in the house. The state doesn't have any regs on that, I don't think.
Okay.
I'm Googling it. If I'm quiet, that's what I'm doing. I'm curious.
Oh my goodness. Yes, that was a very good show. So anybody wants to go back, it's archived. You can listen and just watch it. It's really good. And to relieve, you know, I had this conversation with James last night after the show, and he can say, he actually said himself that, you know, sometimes it feels like it's a little bit dramatic and, you know, maybe above board, but James had said, he indicated last night that everything they do is pretty much on the money. They're not, it's not play acting or anything. They find evidence and it's right there.
Yeah, and it was, like I said, you know, they really only showed about a third of the action that happened that night, and even the second night. First night, there was probably just as much craziness as what they showed for their own investigation on the second night. The first night, I actually, they had me hang out with him, investigate with him a little bit, which was pretty fun. But one instance that just sticks in my mind, poor Aaron almost walked or almost ran over at least a 75 to 100 foot ledge chasing an apparition that just appeared. And everyone thought it was a production assistant. I mean, even members of my team saw the white apparition standing in the middle, and they were thinking, well, maybe it's just us. But Aaron actually saw it, and he shot off after it. And if he didn't catch himself at the last moment, the story would have been a lot different. Either it had been hospitalization or death.
So was
because this thing kept going straight.
Was it trying to run
what
him
was
off?
That?
Was it trying to run him off, you think, James?
I think it was trying to lure him, like bait.
Okay.
Because it went straight like it was flat ground, and because it was pitch black out there, he's seeing this thing go straight out, so he's assuming that there's solid ground underneath, and what happened was it went down – 75 to 100 feet down into the old mining dredges, and with a pond down there. And we actually heard big footsteps going through the pond, and then we heard this big kerplunk, like a huge boulder or something fell down into the water itself that's down there. And we were all just dumbfounded. You know, this was massive action, but they didn't have the cameras trained on it at the time because they were focusing on the church, and we were out kicking back on the road and shooting the breeze. So, yeah, that was a big one.
So we were going to talk about last night about alien abductions. I think that was pretty interesting in a little bit of conversation that we had. You've had your fair share of contacts, I take it.
Yeah. Actually, my, you know, I've had the site, been able to see, sense entities, get place memories, all this odd stuff. You know, for lack of a better term, people would call me psychic, but I'm not a fan of that term because it has a lot of negative connotations, especially if an archbishop possesses those abilities. People will get, you know, assume things which they should not assume. But that being said, all of those abilities started after my family and I actually had a UFO/alien encounter back in 1976 when I was 4 years old. I was 4 years old. We were in Pine Grove, California. It was, I think it was late summer. And I remember playing with my Tonka trucks, you know, the big old strong steel toys, not this garbage of plastic and Twinkies or whatever they make it out of these days. And so I'm playing with my big Tonka toys. My grandmother, my father, and my mother are sitting up on the deck up and to my right. And I hear them start squawking and looking up in the sky. So I look up, and there are three very large black triangular craft, each one having an intense white light at each corner of the triangle, and then a single larger undulating red light in the middle. And that was for each of the three craft that we were watching. So it was three triangles in a triangle formation. And we're just staring at it. And I remember seeing how heat waves rise up from a street, asphalt street on a hot summer day. You see the distortion, the heat waves coming up. Well, those heat waves were coming down from underneath the craft. Actually, I don't know if it was heat because I didn't feel heat, but best reference is that it was like a heat distortion from underneath the craft, and then they went from over our head to over the horizon within a split second. I mean, you can't even blink your eyes as fast as these puppies went, and it was truly frightening for my parents. You know, for me as a kid, I didn't even, you know, I didn't know better. I didn't know to be, you know, that this is actually very, very odd or very, very weird. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just enjoying the view. I think, oh, these are pretty cool aircraft. I don't know what they are. You know, my parents and my grandmother are freaking out. And that night, I remember laying in bed, and then I woke up and I heard this electrical thrumming sound, like a vroom, 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 you know, almost like this generator just thrumming. And my next memory is myself at 4 years old standing in our living room of the house, and there are blue, green, red, and white lights, I believe it was, and they were all zipping around the room just every which way, no rhyme or reason. I mean, there were probably dozens of these orbs of light shooting all over the place. And as they went faster, the thrumming sound got louder. And so they were just going, going, going. And as a kid, you know, I didn't have the common sense yet to say, geez, this is another very, very weird scenario. And, oh, my goodness, maybe I should be alarmed at what's going on. But as a kid, I'm just going, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, I don't know what's going on, but pretty lights and whatnot. And then as it reached this crescendo of sound and light, both of those things stopped. So I was standing in the living room in pitch black by myself in total silence. Just as that realization came into effect, I saw this gold orb that was different from the other orbs I'd just seen start to form within the middle of the room.
Well,
as a kid, you know, I'm standing there staring at this thing, and as it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger till it was at least as big as me, if not a little bigger. And out from it stepped what, you know, people will call them a gray, but this one was not gray. This one had a golden tint to it. Whether that was the reflection of the orb itself onto the gray whatever, I don't know. But what it did, it opened its arms and said, James, come to me. So at 4 years old, this thing knew my name. One, that's creepy. Two, it's surreal. If I hadn't been there, I would not probably put much stock in it myself. But after that night happened, the next morning I woke up in my bed, and I told my mom that I'd been talking to the silver robot guy all night. And my mom goes, "A silver robot guy? Are you watching too many science fiction movies or something?" And I said, "No, I was talking to a silver robot guy." And soon after, I developed duodenal ulcers. I had my stress and anxiety was at such a level as a four-year-old child that I developed ulcers that were on the verge of needing an operation. So that lets you know exactly. There was a physiological effect. There were multiple witnesses. You know, this was an unique experience in my childhood that seemed to be the catalyst for my abilities growing up.
Pretty amazing. I've had my experiences as well, and mine are a little bit different, but I wonder if it's because isn't it like other people have reported having different abilities after contacts with supposed ETs? Isn't that kind of a common thing?
Honestly, I don't know. I haven't really looked that piece up.
I've heard that before, where other people, like their ESP becomes more pronounced or they have new abilities. I've always kind of wondered if those encounters, if if alien beings are doing anything specific or it's just kind of opening up the third eye. I don't know. It's something I've wondered about. I don't feel particularly psychic. I think I'm the anti-psychic. I don't, nothing psychic ever happens to me, but because I've had experiences too. And a lot of people scoff at it and think people are crazy. And yeah, there are some explanations like, you know, hypnagogic hallucinations and stuff like that. But I believe it's going on, you know. What about the possibility of, you know, some sort of government thing, you know, with the triangular craft, experimental aircraft, and then or even the government doing experiments on people?
Well, actually, I have a very unique story about that. I mean, I have a lot of stories that are parallel to this, but just to jump to the point, I had the opportunity, I believe it was in late 2012, early 2013, to be sitting at the table with three retired gentlemen. One was from Lockheed Martin, the other one was from Skunk Works, and the other one was from NASA. So in my little pea brain, I'm sitting here going, wow, if I can crack these guys and see if they can verify what I saw at 4 years old, even if it's a military thing, at least I would have an answer. So I went, all right, I'm just going to draw this thing. And then since I'm also a therapist, I can gauge emotional reaction to basically be a lie detector. So I drew it out, drew a side profile in the bottom because that's all I remember seeing as a kid. And I kind of moved the paper over to the middle of the three guys because we were having dinner. And I go, okay, boys, y'all ever see anything like this? The Lockheed Martin guy, he goes, no, I haven't. The Skunk Works guy goes, no, what is that? The NASA guy looked away and had a tone in his voice that told me, while he said, no, I have never seen that. So I got my answer, but I didn't get the full story. So the military guys had not seen it. The NASA guy had seen it, but he was under oath, most likely still being above top secret, that he couldn't say anything. But his reaction was that he lied when he told me he didn't see this thing, or at least know what it was.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good indicator. Probably doesn't take a rocket scientist to know when somebody's lying, especially when they
Absolutely, and I purposely planned to ambush them with it. That way they didn't have time to mentally prepare themselves for what I was going to ask them when I drew it for them. And they all agreed to it, by the way, to play along with me. Because I said, I'm not going to tell you what I'm drawing, but I want to draw something for you, and I want to, you know, hear your thoughts. And they're like, oh, sure, no problem. And then NASA guy, yeah. he had seen exactly what I had seen. And the military guys added, they go, well, were they drones because of their flight characteristics? And I said, guys, this was 1976. Did we have drones in 1976? And they all look at each other, all shaking their head, no, we didn't. So, I mean, there's only a few scenarios left here. You know, either I had this group hypnotic with somehow physical evidence, and cause a psychological anxiety disorder in a four-year-old, or something was really there, and perhaps it was military. But the military guys, I mean, they talked about a lot of different projects that were close to this type of stuff, but not this specific craft, nor the power plant that they said that would be required for this particular aircraft to do the flight characteristics that it did. And they said for sure it wouldn't be a normal USAF pilot sitting in the cockpit. There would have to be some sort of inertial dampening at the very minimum, if it was not unmanned, to be able to do the flight characteristics that these things did.
Have you ever checked yourself for any kind of like weird scars or implants or anything?
No, I don't believe I have any of those things. You know, I have missing time from that night when I was 4 years old. I would love to do regression hypnosis and attempt to recall that memory, because the rest of the memory has come back to me over a period of 20 years-ish, or it has expanded upon itself over the last 20 years, I should say, to the point that now I remember up until Fang called me by my name and asked me to come with him, and I feel like I did go with him, but I don't have any memory of what happened beyond that point yet. So
James, in your way of thinking or your thoughts, what do you think about these aliens? Why are they? What are they here? What is their messages? Are they, you know, are they? What's your take on that?
Well, I you know, as a theologian, as an archbishop, one, if it's just strictly that they're from another planet, there is no incongruity or some sort of astonishing revelation that would negate the scriptures. The Bible actually makes it pretty clear, or indicates the possibility, that there are other entities outside of planet Earth. So that's almost a non-surprising, you know, anticlimactic revelation if an alien is discovered from a theological standpoint. I mean, it opens other theological lines of inquiry, but not, you know, as far as the existence piece goes. However, we do have specific narratives within the Old Testament that seem to indicate that these, we call them aliens because we're looking at it through a modern lens, but these from the Judaic and Old Testament viewpoints and the writings that we have, these are known as the Bnei HaElohim, or the sons of God, not to be confused with Christ, the Son of God. These are small s, sons of God. We read that these sons of God organized fairly regularly in the book of Job, and they went into the heavens and consulted with God the Father on the affairs of men, basically a class known as the Watchers as well. So they're pretty synonymous, the sons of God and watchers. And even in Psalm 81, I believe it is, they're called the divine counsel. These are beings that have DNA, because in Genesis 6, it says the sons of God beheld the daughters of men and came down to them and took from whoever they chose to be their wife, and created the race of giants known as the Nephilim, or Ephaim, Anakim, etc. So a hybrid race of these sons of God, these watchers, and mankind through the female lines. That right there is the stuff of sci-fi, you know, modern things that, you know, we talk about, and reports even that we have of some abductees, of medical experiments, sperm extraction, ovum extraction, and then creating hybrid children even still. Different physical characteristics now compared to what happened in Genesis 6. But still, I mean, the narrative is very similar. And it also indicates in the scriptures in the Old Testament that some fell, some have remained righteous and judge correctly, and others are, you know, that they sided with wickedness. So, and as a result, I believe it's Psalm 81. It talks about the divine counsel, and it says, because you have sided with wicked men, you shall die like men. Basically, they were created immortal, but because of their choice to back evil, God said, I'm stripping you of your immortality and making you mortal. So that may even feed into a quest for immortality, DNA, genetic spirit. I mean, you could go down the rabbit hole sometimes with some of the things that the scripture really talks about.
Sounds kind of scary to me. I wish there was like a book of knowledge that like gave us information on everything about UFOs. I bet the government has like a lot of knowledge on things that they don't let us know about in terms of life, aliens, and everything else.
I wouldn't be too shocked, honestly. You know, I've spoken to quite a few individuals, that are connected with government agencies. I was even, when I was in my mid-20s, I guess it was, you know, my I was dating my wife at my time, at that time, she was my fiance, and her father was actually trying to induct me into a clandestine group that had, you know, a lot of supposedly notable members, including one that was one of the, I probably shouldn't say the exact designation, because you never know if the Men in Black or whoever come in and I magically disappear or something, but we'll just say one of the head honchos of the NORAD, basically. Oh, goodness, the acronym escapes me. It's not NORAD, but it's the NORCOM, Northern Command. And this individual was one of the head honchos also over the Pacific Fleet. So this is telling you at what level, you know, these individuals, and they were, you know, finding some podunk kid, you know, just learning how to be a, you know, wanting to study to be a priest and everything else, and they're wanting to induct me in. And
that's awesome.
Yeah,
be inducted
into
a secret society.
But it was creepy, too, because and this is why I did not join them, because I was told that they have ways of making people that bother you simply disappear, i.e. abduction and murder. I mean, just putting it out there. So, you know, you have a state secret, you go bye-bye, that kind of thing. Or you bug someone that has a state secret and you go bye-bye. So, I mean, it's that fact alone, you know, probably for the normal 20-year-old kid, you'd be like, oh, yeah, man, that'd be sweet. You know, I'd probably have, you know, this great ride, this. For me, I was going, oh, no. I'm not going to get up mixed in murder and mayhem and have to, you know, deceive everyone I love just to be part of the cool kid club. And I declined. And, you know, I think part of the reason, you know, my wife, she's a close cousin to Ronald Reagan. Her maiden name was Reagan. So I mean, we could go down a rabbit hole on that too.
Oh yeah, that's
well,
another subject.
I totally with you on the government doing, you know, making people disappear. You know, when I was going through the height of my UFO stuff, there, you know, I was being followed around. This other guy was being followed around. These people installed some strange electronic box on stilts near the house. And it was like, we went out, they did it like at 3 a.m. And when they left, we went out there and it was humming and it was on stilts, but there was no wires going to it. And they came back and collected it a few days later, just all sorts of weird stuff, taking pictures. Yeah. Crazy. Surprised I'm not in the bottom of a river.
Hey, you know what? I'm surprised. Honest to Pete, you know, I look at myself sometimes, everything that I am, everything I've experienced, you know, everything I know, I'm surprised, you know, I haven't been taken to some government facility and had my brain dissected or some odd thing at this point. But I totally get it. You know, and, you know, regarding that device, I believe they released classified documents, oh, geez, last couple of years about a CIA program that was working on psychological manipulation through devices just like that. So, I mean, those guys that were trying to be sneaky and creepy could very well have been CIA just working on the psychological profiling and whatnot.
I'll tell you what makes me nervous. This was over 20 years ago, and where I'm living now, at around 3 a.m., 2 something, it's not at the same time every night, I hear this buzzing coming from the wall, and it comes in pulses of 3. And I always thought that I'm always wondering if I can't track it down. It doesn't do it enough to where I can, you know, find it. And, you know, somebody else was down here with me one time and they're like, what is that? And I cannot find the source of this, but it does it every night. And it's just at slightly different times. And then I went outside one time and I looked around the perimeter of the house and right butted up against, you know, the foundation of the house, the dirt was disturbed. And the only place that, like, somebody had digged there, I didn't, like, dig down or anything, but maybe there's an explanation. There probably is, but it's weirding me out.
Does it look like like somebody's watching over you or something, Jason, by footprints and things?
No, I'm worried about some sort of device that's pulsing some sort of energy or something like that. But I don't want to be like a total paranoid freak or anything, because maybe there's an explanation. I don't know what that explanation would be. You know, but
there is a possibility. They've developed technology and they've toyed with the idea of using it in public places. And the only thing that's kept them from it is that it could cause car accidents and whatnot, because, you know, initially it would freak people out. They have developed an audio device that can actually shoot the waves intracranially, so that you hear it in your head and you think, my goodness, I'm hearing this sound. You know, they're doing it for advertising and big corporations and whatnot, but the technology does exist to make you hear sounds, hear advertisements or buzzes, hums, whatever they want to do. And maybe it's something like that, you know, a prototype in the area that they haven't put online yet, but you can look that up too. I think it's called intracranial auditory something or other, but they were going to put it online back a couple of years ago in like New York, LA and whatnot. But there was a concern that because people wouldn't be used to seeing just like a billboard, instead they would be hearing these advertisements in their head and they really would have no control over it. And it would cause car accidents.
That is absolutely terrifying. This sounds like it's coming from inside the wall. So, but maybe it's, I don't know, it's freaky. But I'm looking at the clock, and we only got a few minutes left. And if you want to give out a website or whatever, if people want to learn more about what you do or contact you.
Sure. My website for my team is frjamesstpatricks.wix.com. And that should direct you to our paranormal research team and my personal exorcist team that verifies actual hauntings. Also, our group, Paranormal Research Investigators of St. Michael, are on Facebook. Again, I'm part of the Sacred Order of St. Michael. I'm also the superior for the Advent International Catholic Church's Order of Exorcists. And definitely, if you're interested or got questions, just shoot us a question. Be happy to answer it.
Awesome. Well, I guess, we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming back on the show and filling in short notice for us. It's always fun. I'm glad we talked about UFOs because that naturally is my favorite subject. So,
oh, I got more stories, too, for a later time.
Yeah, we'll have to get you back to cover the subject a little bit more thoroughly.
Definitely.
And it's great fun. So thanks for coming back on the show tonight.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate you, James. Thank you for, like I said, short notice. You really helped us. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm always happy to help out where I can.
All righty. Well, go ahead, Sherry.
You are very good at what you do. I recommend you to anybody.
Great.
And I'm glad I'm not the only one that's seen weird things. It helps validate my experiences as well. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, you're very welcome. And you have an archbishop now that has seen the weird stuff.
Yay!
There you go.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, what a show. It's just really, when you have a lot of good guests. I mean, we've been very blessed and just time flies by really fast. I don't even think about how long it's going to be with this. There's so much information that we can share about the unknown to the public. It's like a big, huge dictionary.
Yeah, and if anybody out there knows what could cause buzzing pulses at irregular times in a wall, let me know. Hey, and I'm going to be buying a Geiger counter. Because one of my fears is that somebody's put a radiological source that's pulsing X-rays or something at me. So I'm getting a Geiger counter.
Well,
I'm going to be.
Well, if you,
what's that?
If you grow a third arm, that'll be your clue.
Yes. Yes. Because it's funny because normally, I mean, this sounds ridiculous to the listeners. But the only reason I would do stuff like that is because of what happened 20 years ago. You know, it's like. It does make you a little paranoid. It makes you look over your shoulder when you experience something like that, even though it's such a long time ago, that there are these arms of the government that go around and conduct surveillance and do all sorts of shady things. So, but with that, we're out of time. So thanks again, James, for coming on. And do you have anything else, Sherry?
No, not at all. We are just about ready to wrap it up. And, next week, who we're going to have? Oh, boy. We're going to have, oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know. just trying to look at this really quickly here. Wow, Cindy Bailey Dove. We're going to talk about privacy and drones. She loves talking about we're going to talk about the privacy aspects of drones and how our privacy is could be compromised in many more ways, from the internet to drones to telephones, internet, you have it. So that's what she's going to talk about, Cindy Bailey Dove.
Awesome. That's a great subject. We are living in a surveillance state. Nothing you do is not monitored or tracked with the NSA, CIA, all the you know, the letter programs and agencies. So, yeah, that's awesome. All right, Sherry. Well, thanks again, James, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Bye, everybody. Peace.